Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and healthcare. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
Chance to change, because this is a special show we're going to have today, and I could not get in through Skype. Skype was all tied up. They said all their lines were busy. Now, how the hell can Skype be busy? That is unbelievable. Well, it took me, I was going frantic. I said, this is not your number. You can't dial in free. This is not a toll-free number. Unbelievable. And finally, it just came up by itself. Anyway, we have a special show today. It's only going to be for an hour, but you need to do the Zoom call, which we will give you a link during this broadcast, to call in for a young lady who needs your help. This is a love-a-thon for Katherine Cooper. And we will know who Katherine Cooper is during this next hour or so, or next 51 minutes or so. And it's sponsored by the International Black Summit, and we will know who they are very shortly. And let's see here. We need to know. We have David, David, you're online? David?
Michael, yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Okay. And who else do we have online? Glenn?
Glenn Greenwich.
Glenn Greenwich is with us as well.
Glenn Greenwich. Okay, Glenn. Tell us who Katherine Cooper is.
Yeah, it's actually Katherine Copper. And
oh, Copper.
She is Copper, yes, like the metal.
Copper.
And so,
like the metal. Oh, that was me, my boo-boo. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's fine. And who Katherine Copper is she is one of the five facilitators that facilitated the conversation of the International Black Summit. So let me back up a little bit and give you a little background. So the International Black Summit started 30 years ago, and it was it came out of this group called Landmark Education. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. They
where was that started?
That's been around. That was started in California back in the late 70s, about 78, 79. And it was started by a guy by the name of Warner Earhart. That company has now blossomed and was later sold to the employees. And it's now called Landmark Education. But at that point in time, it was called EST, S Training. And what it was about was having people change their lives. And so when I say change their lives, had them look at their lives differently and assess the things that were actually not working and then address them. You know, sometimes you have a situation where it's either family or culture or a neighborhood or some kind of environmental thing that you do, and you do it automatically without thinking about it.
Right.
And so what this program had us look at, had me look at, was what were the things that I was doing that wasn't working for me, and I was committed to doing them that particular way that wasn't working for me. Now, I hadn't analyzed it, and so this program actually had me look at it and say to myself, well, wait a minute, why am I doing it this way? You know, there's an old statement that they talk about the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. And the mother is preparing a ham for Thanksgiving. And she cuts off the two ends of the ham and puts it in the pan.
Right.
And her daughter looked at her and said, mother, why are you doing that? And she says, you know, I don't know. But my mother always did it. And that's something that I just kept doing. So the granddaughter went and asked the grandmother, why is mom cutting off the two ends of the ham? And, of course, the grandmother laughed and said, oh, because back in the day, I didn't have a pan big enough, so I cut off both ends. So we take things into our life, not necessarily knowing why we do that, but know that the people around us have been doing it and been doing it forever, and so we adopt that particular practice as a way of continuing, because that's what we learned. And so the S Training and the forum, which is their program, has you look at things and say, well, wait a minute, why am I cutting off the two ends? You know, can I use a bigger pan? I've got a bigger oven. I got a bigger whatever, you know. So I don't need to cut. I don't need to keep doing that. And so for me, what I did and what I was looking to do was I came into the program, and I actually was afraid to public speak. So here I was, highly educated in the computer field, been playing with computers since I was in high school. I've now graduated. I'm working at Xerox Corporation. And someone would ask a question, I would know the answer, but I wouldn't raise my hand and say, I have the answer. I would then meet with them afterwards, whoever asked the question, and tell them what the answer was, because I just wasn't able to do that.
Right.
So a coworker of mine said, hey, listen, I got a program that you may be interested in in developing yourself. So I went to this program with the intention of becoming more public in my speaking and being able to answer questions and so on and so forth. And what I got to see was that I had made up all the story about what was going to come out my mouth. Maybe I was going to embarrass myself. And so, you know, all of the things that stop you from speaking. So I got to see that I created that. There wasn't somebody else telling me that I couldn't do it.
Right.
I saw it for myself. And so, you know, that was one of several things that I took on going into the program. But the thing about it is what was even beyond what I thought I was going to get out of it, because you have about 100 people in the program, and they're all there for their stuff, and I'm seeing my stuff and their stuff. Let me give you an example. So this one woman was having this issue with her father, and her father never told her that he loved her. And so one of the things that the form leader, the instructor, because this is a program, they never tell you what to do, but they just ask you questions, and inside of asking you the questions, you look to see for yourself. So he asked her a series of questions. Has your father, provided you food, housing? He paid for your college? And you just asked a series of questions. And so the form leader said, do you think that your father loves you if he's done all those things for you that have helped you to become the woman you are? Maybe he loves you. And she looked at that, and she said, yeah, he never said I loved you, but all of his action demonstrated his love for you.
Right.
And so what that did, now I didn't have a bad relationship with my father at all, but my father was very West Indian and very stoic. And so who my father was is, hi, son. Hi, dad. And, you know, you kind of shake and, you know. And I thought about it. I'd never said to my father that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next time I saw him, and, of course, I made a commitment to myself, next time I see my father, instead of the handshake, I'm going to actually grab him and hug him. And then I thought, well, is he going to think I'm gay? Is he going to think that, you know, all of these other stuff came up because, you know, we're talking about back in the 70s. In the 80s at this point in time. I grabbed him, hugged him. My dad hugged me back. Our relationship changed. We took the relationship to another level. So I'm saying that to say that there were lots of things that I took out of this program. Now, fast forward to the International Black Summit. The International Black Summit was formulated in 1991 from graduates of that program. So black graduates from this landmark education and the S training program formulated themselves and said, look, I want to do something for the black community. We got all this transformation, and of course this was a white organization, so it was like it didn't have a lot of black people in it. And it was led, organized and led by Europeans. So we decided, well, why can't we do something for our community, for ourselves? So we formulated this International Black Summit, and that was back in 1991 is when we had our first summit event. And
where
Catherine
was this at?
Koppler,
where did you have the first summit event? Where did you have a your first summit event?
In Atlanta, Georgia. In Atlanta, Georgia, in 1991, October 7th. And
okay,
so
I'm from New York, and I never heard of the Black, the International Black Summit. So, and I
we had an event. Mm-hmm. We had an event there in 1995. That was our only big event in New York. And
okay, I was
but we've gone
1986, 1993.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So go ahead.
So we're all over the place, but anyway, so. So how this conversation started was two black women who were in another leadership course at Landmark decided one was leaving a divorce, well, one was getting a divorce and one was getting married, and decided, wouldn't it be nice to have a conversation about black relationships? And so that conversation got generated, and it took probably about 8 or 9 months of organizing, and then they organized in October 7th, 1991, and created this conversation called the International Black Summit. we actually have a declaration that got generated out of it. But let me share a couple things with you around that. But so the conversation of the International Black Summit is really it's an annual event that takes place the first weekend in August each year. So the first full weekend in August, after that first one, we decided that that would be the date that we do. And the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community in the world.
Right.
So it's really a conversation being given by life to the world to people of black African descent. Mm-hmm. And so we formulated ourselves, and I'm going to pull up the declaration. I'll read it to you. But Catherine Copper was one of the first facilitators of that conversation. So she was there was five of them. There was actually four, and I'll tell you how the fifth one became. But they then said that they would lead this conversation, not knowing where the conversation was going, but were listening for what was being asked for in the room. So it was Catherine Copper, it was Perry Parks, it was Anthony Randolph, and Anthony's wife, which her name evades me right now. But it was the four of them, and they.
Her name was Robin.
Robin, thank you, David.
So all women, women.
No. Perry was the guy, and Anthony.
Oh, Perry was the guy.
So
okay,
it was,
right.
So
two women,
two and
men.
Two.
Right.
Two women, two men, and they had already led events for this landmark International Black Summit, folks. They had led courses for Landmark already. So they were inside of the conversation of how do we bring this transformation, because that's what Landmark called itself, with a transformational organization transforming lives. How do we bring that to the black community? And so they took the leadership to be at the front of the room to lead this conversation. And so one of the things that got developed, and this was overnight, so this was a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. So on the Saturday, I didn't get there till Saturday, late morning. And people knew about me because I had started this other organization called People of African Descent Empowerment Group inside of Landmark, inside of New York Area Center. And we went off and had different, so we had different, different interests. You know, some were mental health, some were economic, some were nurturing relationships, ending the murders of our men. You know, different pockets of conversation, media, youth, so on and so forth. And they gave some ideas, all the different groups gave some ideas, and then we met afterwards. And then after several hours, this is after the session completed for that Saturday at about 7 o'clock, people were lingering to give input to this conversation. And then a core group of about three or four people, after probably about 5 or 6 hours inside of this conversation, stayed up and came up with what I'm going to read to you now, which is the Declaration of the International Black Summit. So, and this is the embodiment of who we were as a group. Now, I also want to tell you that one of the things that we had to grapple with is that we weren't sure what to call ourselves, because there were African Americans in there, there were folks from the Caribbean, there were folks from Africa, and not everybody, I'm sure you're probably aware of it, but not everybody around the world relates to black like we do. basically, because James Brown kind of came out with.
But you know, I don't want to move you on, but we got another 34 minutes left. But get to Catherine. Why are we having this love-a-thon?
Well, the let me read you the declaration, and then let me get you into Catherine.
Okay.
Because this document that I'm about to read is kind of the embodiment of the work that got done through her leadership and the other four people. So the declaration of the International Black Summit: we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. Step B: we assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Now, we start every session and end every session inside of that declaration. And so that's kind of like the background context of this conversation. So let's get to Catherine. So Catherine's part, Catherine is this not, you know, short, powerful black woman that was standing for the commitment for the International Black Summit, like, fiercely. Like she is the person that would share herself so fully. Like, Catherine shared her inner thoughts and to open people up so that people can get the rawness of the conversation. Because I got to tell you, we were the first year, we were an International Blank Summit because we weren't clear what we wanted to call ourselves going forward. And we were able to establish that. But Catherine was one of the leaders that that has stood in all the 30 years. She's probably attended all but three or four the events. As a leader, as an elder, because at one point in time, Catherine was an elder, but she didn't leave the conversation. She trained other facilitators, and other facilitators have taken over. But she still stayed the course. Of all those five original, we did lose two of them, became ancestors. But from the other three, she actually is one of the ones that stayed the course in the conversation. And who Catherine is someone who is loving, who is caring, who is a commitment to black people all around the world. Because we've gone to Salvador, the Bahia, Ghana, Toronto, Memphis, Philadelphia,
Jamaica, Nairobi, Kenya, Cape Town, South Africa, to Johannesburg, South Africa. We've been around
the world. Yeah,
but
go ahead,
Kat
David.
Is that rock, Michael. She's the rock of the summit. And when
you're
in a conversation with her, it's like a laser.
When your organization traveled, how many people traveled with you?
We had anywhere from 60 to 70 people when we traveled overseas, and then we would have people from that country participate. So you had about 60 or so Americans that would travel to this. In fact, it was quite interesting because when we went to Brazil, the Brazilians were like, well, what, why are you here? I said, well, we're here out of our commitment to U.S. black people on the planet. And they said, you mean your government didn't pay you to come here? He said, no, we paid out of our own pocket to be here, to be with you all. And you want to notice that the conversation shifted because we weren't there to get anything. In fact,
right.
What we say is that we're there to be in the conversation with you because we'll learn together what it means to be in this declaration, you know, because inside of that declaration, you're talking about funding our community, you know, nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media. All of those things we're committed to having, not just in America, but all over the planet for who we are.
Right.
So,
Michael, there's a magic of the summit, right? And it's like, for example, when we were in Nairobi, Kenya, we also have a part of the summit that is actually facilitated by young people. There were young people participating from Kenya that didn't even speak English. And by the end of the summit, the youth all come back to present to the adult summit.
Right.
And all of them participated. Whether they spoke English or not, they were now in one voice inside of the power of the summit declaration.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful examples for me in Kenya, women are seen but not heard. But in that summit, a
right.
Kenyan wife was finally able to tell her husband something she had never been able to tell him, and he
right.
heard it. It was extraordinary. Those are the kind of conversations that happen in the summit.
Well, we have another caller. Caller 3630. Who's this?
This is Mungaza Bondelay. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I am a facilitator of International Black Summit and one of the organizers of this wonderful Cat Copper Love-a-thon that we are presenting today. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. How are you? And what,
I'm
can you
great.
Say,
great.
Say your name? Spell your name for me. What is your name?
Spell my name. M as in money. WANGAZA. Mungaza is the first name.
That's okay. What's your last
Pardon
name?
Me?
Last name is
Bondelay. B A N. B as in boy. A N. B as in Delta, E L E.
Mungaza
Bondelay.
Are you? You're not from? Where are you calling from? The Connecticut area? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the nation's capital, Washington D.C.
Nation's capital. Okay. Now
that's right. That's right.
Are you from another country? Or are you from here?
I'm an African born right in this country.
African born right in this country. And how long have you been a part of? How long have you been a part of the International Black Summit?
I want to say 17 years, I believe it is now.
My gosh. Oh.
Yeah, a long time. Let me tell you why.
A long
time? Let me tell you. And hey, Glenn.
Why.
Hey, David. Let me just not, you know, be who my mama raised me to be. You speak to people when you come in the room. So listen,
absolutely.
They've been talking about the International Black Summit. It is an extraordinary nonprofit organization that really has taken on transforming the conversations of black folks, what we say to ourselves, how we speak to ourselves, and what is possible inside of a conversation. And so they've been telling you some of the details, and what I want to share with you today is just to invite your entire audience to come into a love-a-thon like I tell you, you will never know again. So this love-a-thon is built around Catherine Copper. As Glenn
right.
and David was explaining, Catherine Copper is one of the foundations of the International Black Summit, who has transformed so many people's lives. There is just such a adoring of who she is in her power, in her love, and in her very skilled and expert direction. Out of that, we have determined that we are coming together at this time in her life as she's battling a pretty serious disease, cancer, and we just gonna love up on her. We just going to show up. We going to love up on Cat Copper as an alignment of how black folks can show up and love up on each other to strengthen, prepare, heal, forge through whatever the challenge might be. And so we have assembled just a wonderful, wonderful program. People have called from near and far who are going to sing with us, who are going to serenade us musically, who are going to read powerful poems. And just, and we do have, I just want y'all to know now, Michael, let your listeners know. We got a special guest performance from none other than Tina Turner.
Ah, all right.
Impersonation.
Okay.
So this is not your, this is not the kind of event where you just kind of sit back. It's a virtual event. Where you sit back and look at the screen, if you blink, you're going to miss something. So you tell your – let me make sure that your audience knows, if you want an experience of how deeply, widely black folks love each other, if you want to meet and interact, be engaged with a group of folks who have recognized the power of our collective strength and have not just talked about it, but we're going to walk about it today. If you want to come up in that space where we're going to align our power with the healing power just for Cat, recognizing that while we are focusing on Cat, we really are focusing on ourselves, because what we do for one, we can do for many.
Right.
If your audience wants to be a part of that, if they want to insert themselves in that energy, if they want to get in that flow to health and strengthening black communities, come on. Just come on with us. They can go to cathopper.com to register. It's a free event, and it is a fundraiser.
Yes.
Cathopper.com.
And that's
register
Cat
there.
With a K.
That's right, Cat with a K. Thank you. Go to that website, and they can register, receive a Zoom link, and be in the gathering. You know, we are sounding the drum. We have sent out the energetic call for folks to show up and be who we really are for each other. I'm not talking about what they might see on the 11 o'clock news. I'm not talking about what they said down at, you know, whatever, okay? I'm talking about who we know we are at our core. And to manifest that as a healing force for Catherine Copper, as she is an icon for black people and who we can be. Does that kind of help you understand the greatness that is percolating only 20 minutes away?
Well, are you running for office? Because no one has explained anything as good as you have explained. We need to
run for office. Michael, we should have had Mongaza on from the start.
I saw her in the studio, but you guys were talking so much, I didn't get a chance to get to her.
Don't worry about it. This is just since you asked. Go to blackmagnificentlife.com. You can find out more about what I'm running for office for. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with black folks standing in the power that we are.
Yeah, and we know what we're standing at. We'll look it up right now. We'll call up right now. What is it called?
Blackmagnificent. One word. Blackmagnificentlife.com. And Michael, feel free to call me. We can talk about it. I'd be glad to come on the show and you know, do a full thing about that. And I'll just do a whole show around you. Just one? Oh, I'm just kidding. I want your audience to know that a healing is at hand, and we can step into that healing space together. So, again, go to catcopper.com, get your Zoom link, and come on in the circle. No cost. You know, sometimes, as important as money is, there's a currency more important, more powerful. And it has to do with how we show up and the energetic force that we bring with us.
Absolutely.
And so come on up in this energy. Come on up in this force. Tell us
something about this Zoom. Give, matter of fact, give us the address again.
Go to Cat cap.copper.com.
Cap.
You will.
Is that, cap with a K?
Cat with a K. K-A-T-C-O-P-P-E-R. Yes, .com. That's where you get the link. But you know what I'm going to do? Mikey, you've been a soldier. You've been working for folks. I know you've been just such an icon of conversation engagement that nourishes our community. That's what I know.
Amen.
Well,
I tried.
Listen, you know. No, you ain't tried. You did it. There's a distance, but you got to come to the summit to know the distinction there. But let's not forget. This is what I'm going to do because of how I just so adore you. Hold on. I'm looking through my. I'm looking through. I'm going to give your audience, you and your audience. If they're showing up for you, I say they're showing up. I'm going to give them a direct link, okay?
Uh-oh.
Direct damn link.
You want the number?
Rules. I want the Zoom link. You have it there?
I have it in front of me.
The meeting
ID for Zoom is 875-7283-2364. Let me repeat it. It's 875-7283-2364. So that's the direct link into the Zoom conversation that we're going to be having today, and it
and
goes
that's,
from three.
That's HTTP, right?
No, you go into Zoom.
Zoom. Okay, gotcha. Okay, that's
com.
The idea. It there's no password.
No, there's no password.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-mm. We want everybody
gotcha.
Up in there. Just come on up in there.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And that goes from 3 to 6.
3 to 6.
Is that correct, Mongaza?
That is correct.
3 to 6.
3 to 6. Absolutely. And we have a big announcement we're going
to
make at the top. So you want to be on time. This is not a colored people's program. this is a cultural people. And so we honor time, we start on time, and we're going to have a wonderful announcement within the first 10 minutes of coming up. So come be with us, know where home is, know where family is, and just come on up in there. You got the address. Matter of fact, you have the key, so just come on in, get comfortable, and get ready to actually see feel and know the best reflection of Black folks that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that,
what we're inviting you into is that this is a body of people with about 25 to 35 facilitators that have been trained over the last 30 years. Plus, we've had thousands of people who have actually participated in the summit, who are inviting into this conversation as well inside of the relationship to Catherine Copper. So this is going to be a full agenda in terms of activity. There'll be sharing, there'll be singing, there'll be joyous, there'll be all kinds of activities. You know how we do. When we get together, it's a joyous, loving, fun-filled occasion, and that's
absolutely
what we're inviting you into.
And there'll be Tina. Don't forget Tina, because she's gonna bring the damn house down. I guarantee you.
Well, I am
going in a river.
Well, I just want to let you know I am already in the Zoom link, and just wait.
Wonderful.
I'm already in.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So I'm just
wonderful.
Waiting.
Listen, my brothers, I'm just delighted to have this opportunity to be with you for this time. I'm gonna sign off now because I've got to get back and get ready for this production. I'm going to look for to see you, Michael, and wave at you when I do. Okay?
All right. That works for me.
All right, Glenn, David, thank you for
all
the
right,
invitation.
Mugabe.
Thank you for the platform, Michael, and we will talk again soon. Take great care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Now,
so Michael,
have you ever heard anybody speak so wonderful? Yes. Go ahead.
Well,
I've heard you talk
like that,
Michael.
One of the things that that is one of the beauties of this International Black Summit, is that you really begin to get who people are in your community and outside of your community, inside of this
right.
network of people. Because we've got probably 40 to 50 people of her caliber inside of this conversation that are all doing great things around the country.
Right.
We've got Latasha.
Around the world.
Around the world. It really is around the world. One of the things that I was going to say when Dave was talking about Kenya, one of the young people that stood up at that point in time, who was from Kenya, who did speak English, said that she would be the first female president of Kenya. Okay.
Ooh.
Now, she has become an ancestor, but she ended up working with the first lady of Kenya. And I'm going to say this, and I think that there were some interests that weren't interested in her being that might have taken her out, because she had mysteriously got this illness, internal illness, and was not able to recover from it at a young age. She was wasn't even in her 40s yet.
Right.
This was a brilliant young woman that got her. And see, here's one of the things about the International Black Summit. One of the things that we work on is we make sure the prerequisite course that we have, the first thing that we sit down and work with is, what's your vision? You know, what's your vision for yourself and for the community and for the world? So that's part of what we work on inside the International Black Summit. And inside of her participation, inside of her youth summit, she got, she was going for being the president. Now, the same woman, the same young lady, came to America probably about 4 or 5 years after the Kenya summit event and needed money to go to Spelman and passed a hat, and the people in the room got the money up for her so that she could enter college in Atlanta.
Wonderful.
And she actually graduated Spelman College and then went back to Africa, back to Kenya, to work with her government and her family over there. So I mean, it, you know, when you talk about the possibility of who we are when we know ourselves clearly, there's no power that can stop us when we get who we are. But it's all
right.
of that. It's about getting clear who we are, because once we become clear, and that goal is very clear and very direct, and all our actions go along with it. David, you want to say anything at this point?
Yeah, Michael, it's like...
Yes.
I went to the second International Black Summit in Highland Park, Michigan, in 1992. And the interesting thing was there were conversations, things that I was saying to myself in my head about other black people and my ability to be with other black people. You know, silly things like as an officer in the Air Force, I would go into the officers club in Boston at the time, and I see a group of young black officers over to the side talking, having a good time. I'm a senior ranking officer, but that didn't make the difference. The thoughts that were in my head was, oh, will they think I talk funny? Well, if they start talking about rap music, I don't know anything about rap music. You know, it's like those are the conversations going on in my head that kept me
right.
from being with these young black officers. I went to the International Black Summit in 1992 in Highland Park, Michigan, Michael, and all the conversations I had in my own head, the stories I would tell myself that kept me apart from other black people, disappeared. And I got to own who I am as a black man, fully and powerfully, for the first time in that event And that happened in just 4 days. 4 days.
Right?
And so we all have conversations about that we say about ourselves, about other black people. It was like that when we first went to Kenya. The Kenyan said, "What y'all doing here? You ain't African." And I remember this man from Chicago saying, "You damn right, I'm from Chicago." But by the end of that summit, Michael, there were people just hugging and loving on each other as brothers and sisters.
Right.
And they didn't even know each other until 3 or 4 days earlier. Like, that's the space that the summit provides for people of black African descent all around the globe every year. It's an extraordinary event, and I'm so honored and glad to be a part of it. And I also just so honored and so thankful that you are allowing us to be on your show today to share about the International Black Summit and to invite people to come and find out about an amazing powerhouse of a woman, the one, the only, Catherine Copper, that we know lovingly as Cat.
Well,
so, thank you.
You know, Glenn, I was in the Air Force too, you know, but I was in Vietnam War. And F-4s and 111s and Phantom jets were my key radar operator. And Yeah, F-4s and 111s. And when Da Nang, Cameron Bay, mostly Clark Air Base, TDY there. But the thing is that, well, you officers talk funny anyway. I can understand. Because we didn't allow you at the Evans Club at Clark Air Base. You had your own little dingy little place. We had the big place at Clark Air Base. When it was there before the Negron Mountain blew up and took out everything at Clark Air Base, because there is no more Clark Air Base. But anyway, that was so funny when you got over there. They said, "Who the hell are you people? Where did you stay?" Well, see, we need to have a whole hour conversation on that when you went to these places and what went on and how the people. We only got about 7 minutes left, so we can't do it now. What I'm saying is that we need to have a whole conversation on that. That needs to be a whole hour show. Just my
idea. Yeah, absolutely.
An hour
absolutely. We could definitely do that,
know.
But I wanted.
Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that one of the things that we do is that each year we inquire into something. So we have an inquiry that we're left with, and then kind of develop the facilitators develop that conversation so that when we come back to the next annual event, we actually have something that we've been looking into, inquiring into.
Right.
So, for
That's
example, the very first inquiry was, who am I in relation to the black community, and what is it to be black? So that's a relevant conversation even now. That was back
absolutely
in 1991.
Well,
we
see,
had another. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And we actually have what is a summit share every Sunday night at 7 p.m. And what we do is we go back and look at some of the questions, some of the work that we've done over the 30 years, and have, you know, little workshops so that people get snippets of what we've done. And it's not so much what we've done, but an opportunity to engage in a conversation like, what does it mean to be black? Here's
right.
another one. I am complete on who I know myself to be. I declare that dot, 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 dot. Or what is available in consciously owning all that I create?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I being in the world that I created from my vision? So these are just you know, we've got 30 years worth of inquiries that we have explored over the years. The one one of the ones for me that just always kind of hit me is be with what is. And it's like,
be what is.
That one, be with what is. So,
yes.
In other words, you're not making whatever the situation wrong. It should be some other way, could be another way, want it to be another way. You know, that was one of the most confronting inquiries for me because I had to be with all right with what I had in front of me and to know that I created that. So if I wanted something different, I now have an opportunity to create something differently in this moment now that I've discovered it. So, you know.
Well,
so, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say we are finished. We got 4 minutes left. And we need to have this conversation. Why don't you guys come on the show tomorrow, if you can, or on next Friday? Just call in whenever you can.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And Michael, I'm going to make sure you get the information to be invited to a summit here on Sunday, so you can call in anytime for yourself, Sunday night at 7.
Okay.
And we're definitely going to be back in touch, my friend.
And that young lady's name again. I spell her name.
Mongaza.
You spell the kind of name.
Mongaza.
It's one M-W. Yeah.
Let me get it for you so I don't misspell it. Hold on.
M-W-A-Z?
M-W-A-N-G-A-Z-A. Mongaza. M-W-A-N-G-A-Z-A.
And last name is Ben Della? How you spell it? B-A-N?
D-E-L-E.
B-A-N-D-E-L-E?
Yes.
D-E-L-A, right?
L-E.
Okay. L-E, okay.
Yeah,
well,
Della.
She is some speaker now. She is some speaker. She is her own talk show.
Yeah. She
needs her own talk show.
Exactly. So I mean, there's lots of folks that are up doing great things around the planet that are part of this organization.
Absolutely.
And this is
absolutely
self-funded. This is all self-funded. So this is not, you get no grants, no government, nothing. This is all digging in our pocket, funding ourselves, and we're all volunteers. Nobody's getting paid.
You mean to tell you that the oil companies aren't sponsoring you?
No.
Holy cow.
And that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
I got a conversation about Guyana in South America being taken over by the U.S. and oil, but that's a whole nother story.
Ain't that the truth? Well, hey, you guys, I need you to text me Bandela's phone number again because I forgot to write it down.
We'll handle that.
But I'm going to call in. Well, it's almost 3 o'clock. They're going to start in 1 minute and 30 seconds. Okay, guys.
So,
you have great time. We need to have this conversation. Everybody needs to know it so I can send it out to everybody.
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
Absolutely.
The summit is for everyone, and we'd love to create that with you, Michael. You can count on it.
Okay. James Brown is taking us out.
Thank you so much.
Okay. He's black and he's proud, and we are black and proud.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
We like the birds and the bees, but we'd rather die on our feet and keep living on our knees. Stand loud.
We're black and the proud.
Bye.
thing.